Today's shiur will be in Masechta Zevachim, Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will start 17 lines from the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, from the beginning of the Mishnah. And here we are dealing with the din that it says in Chumash, in Parshat Tzav, Kapitel Vov, Posek Chof, concerning a Korm Chatos, that Keila Sheyiga Bifsora Yigdosh, anything that will touch its meat will become holy, Ba'asheyize Midoma La Begit, Asheyize Oleo, and if it will be sprinkled from its blood on a garment, that it should be sprinkled, which means the blood that should be sprinkled on the Mizbeach will fall onto a garment to chabei the Mokim Kodesh. You should wash it in a holy place. And that is the din of kibbutz of the beged, that if blood fell on it from the chatos, so then you have to wash that beged. And the posuk continues, ukli cheres asher tevush alboy, and an earthen keila that you cook the chatos in, yeshove has to be broken. The im bichli nechayshes b'sholo, if it was cooked in copper vessels, then it should be washed and rinsed in water. This is the parsha of the Torah. So the Mishnah here says, "Nitas al ha'oir achelei hufshot." If the blood sprinkled fell on hide, on skin of the animal, before it was taken off the animal, ein etoin kibbutz, then you don't have to wash it. And the reason the Gemara gives is because only a beged which is roi lekabel tumah, only a garment which is fit to become unclean if tumah would touch it, only a beged like that, if the blood of the chatas fell on it, you have to wash it. But if it's a beged that's not fit to be mekabel tumah, so then if the dam of the chatas fell on it, you don't have to wash it. The skin before it was taken off from the animal is not fit to be mekabel tumah. And therefore it says that if it fell on the skin before it was taken off the animal, you don't have to wash the skin. But misha hufshat, but if it fell on the skin after it was taken off, ton kibbutz, you do have to wash it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because after it was taken off, even though the way it is, it's still not a beged, and therefore it is still not fit to be mekabel tumah, but at this point there is a possibility for it to be mekabel tumah. Because the din is that if it's a piece of skin that's unfinished, but the person, the owner, decides that he's going to use it the way it is, so that decision itself, that machshava, that thought itself of the owner, is as if it's finished, and therefore from that moment on, it is fit to be mekabel tumah like any beged. So even though, if he didn't think that, if he didn't make up his mind to use it the way it is, so then it's still not considered a beged, and it is not mekabel tumah. But nevertheless, we consider it as if it's roye mekabel tumah. It's fit. There is a possibility for it to be mekabel tumah if the owner will have the machshava thinking that he will use it the way it is. So therefore, as soon as it's taken off the animal, since it's already fit to be mekabel tumah, if the owner would have the proper intentions, so then it is already considered royal mekabel tumah, and if the dam of the chatas fell on this beged, on this oir, this skin, after it was taken off the animal, it does need to be washed. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lozer says, "Af mishahuvshet ein etoin kibbutz." Also, after the skin was taken off, you still don't have to wash it if the dam chatas fell on it. And the reason is, as we said before, that even after it's taken off, it still won't be mekabel tumah, because it's still not a finished product. The only thing is that if the person will have the machshava to use it the way it is, then it will be mekabel tumah. But as long as the person didn't have that machshava, it is not mekabel tumah. And therefore, Rabbi Lozer says that this is still considered a beged which is not mekabel tumah, and therefore it doesn't have to be washed. In other words, the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer is whether the fact that it's fit to be mekabel tumah, that there is a possibility for something to happen to it, and it should be mekabel tumah, if that is enough to require to be washed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, royu mekabel tumah is enough to require to be washed. According to Rabbi Lozer, royu, it's only fit to be mekabel tumah, is not enough. It has to be actually a keila which could be mekabel tumah the way it is. And therefore, he holds that even after it was taken off the animal, you don't have to wash it. Then the Mishnah continues, "Ein ton kibbutz ela mokim hadam." When we say that you have to wash a garment when the dam spills on it, it doesn't mean you have to wash the whole baguette, but it just means that you have to wash the place of the blood. And also, the dover shoroyu lekabel tumah. When do you have to wash it? Something which is royu fit to be mekabel tumah. And this goes according to the Yehuda, that even if it's not able to be mekabel tumah as it is now, the only way it could be mekabel tumah is if the person, the owner, will have the machshava to use it the way it is. Nevertheless, he considered it royal mekabel tumah, it's considered fit to be mekabel tumah, and you would have to wash it. And also, when do you have to wash it? If it's royal kibbutz, if it's an object which could be washed. And the Gemara will explain what this comes to exclude. And then it continues, Echot ha-beged, whether it is a garment. And a garment is usually made out of wool. Ve-echot ha-sak, or whether it's a sack. Ve-echot ha-oir, or whether it is skin, hide. To unin kibuz, you have to wash it if the dam fell on it. And also, va-kibuz ha-mokim kodesh, this washing has to take place in the holy place, which means in the Azara, because the Pasuk says clearly, the chabez v'mokim kodesh, you should wash it in the holy place. And also, shvirat klicheres, the din that you have to break the klicheres, as we quoted the Pasuk before, that the klicheres, the earthen kele, that was used to cook the chatas in, the Pasuk says, yishove must be broken, so also v'mokim kodesh. It also must be done in the holy place, which means in the Azara. Umarike v'shtipe b'kvay nechoshes, v'mokim kodesh, and also the washing and the rinsing of the kapur kele also must be done in the holy place, because the pasuk says im bichlin nechayishas b'shalah, if you cooked it in a kapur kele, then umayrak b'shutav amayim, you should wash and rinse it in water. So this also must be done in a holy place, which means in the Azara. Zechaymer b'chatas mikotche kadoshim. This is a strict din that is in chata stricter over other kotche kadoshim, which means that this is a din only by chatas, not by other kotche kadoshim. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that this is a chumrah that we have in chatas over other kotche kadoshim. And the Gemara goes on by asking, Mino hanemila, how do we know this din? And this refers to the case where we said that oyer, the skin before it was taken off, you don't have to wash. After it was taken off, you do have to wash. How do we know this din? And the Gemara answers, the Tone Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan learned, we learn in the Braise, the Posik says, beg it. Because the Pasuk says, Vashe Yize Midomo Al HaBeged, that if from its blood will be sprinkled on a beged, so the Pasuk continues to say that you have to wash it. So the Pasuk uses the term beged, that if it falls on a garment. Ainly yellow beged, we would only think if it falls mamash on a garment. Minayin, how do we know the rabbis to include Oyer Mishahufsha, that the same thing would be if it fell on the skin after it was taken off the animal? Talmud Loimer, the Pasuk says, Asher Yize Oleh Tachabes, that will be sprinkled on it, you should wash. And these are extra words, because the Pasuk says already in the beginning, Va'asha yizeh midoma ala beget. So why does the Pasuk have to repeat itself and say, Asha yizeh oleo techabes? So the words Asha yizeh oleo are extra, so I come to include that something we would not know from the word beget, that if it's sprinkled on something else, which we would think you don't have to wash, the Torah says, no, you do have to wash. So what does it come to include? It comes to include skin. After it was taken off the animal, so if the dam fell on that, you have to wash it. But Yochel, I would think, Chani Marbe Oir Acheloi Hufshad. If we're saying that these words, Asha Yizeleo, comes to include something over Beged, maybe comes to include the skin even before it was taken off the animal, why do we say it only comes to include the skin after it was taken off? Talmud Loimer, because the Pasuk, after all, does say Beged. So the Torah does tell us it has to be a garment. So the Torah comes to teach us that Ma Beged Horoi Lekabel Tumah, just like a beged is something which is fit to receive tumah, it's a beged is something that if tumah would touch it, it would become tumah, so it is fit to be mekabel tumah. Af kol haroy lekabel tumah. So too, anything which is fit to be mekabel tumah, if the dam from the chatas falls on it, you have to wash it. Divrei Reb Yehuda, that's the opinion of Reb Yehuda. And therefore, skin after it was taken off, which is already fit to be mekabel tumah, because if the person will decide to use it the way it is, it would be mekabel tumah. So therefore, it's considered roi lekabel tumah. So there we are marbe, that you do have to wash. But skin before it was taken off, since that is not fit to be mekabel tumah, because even if the person will decide to use it, it's still not considered a beged and still won't be mekabel tumah. So that is excluded, and in that case, you don't have to wash. David attributed that the opinion of Reb Yehuda. But Reb Elazar, Reb Elazar says, from the word beged, ain li el a beged, we would only know a beged. Minayin l'rabbi sak v'chol min ebgodim, how do we know to include also a sack and other clothes? Because usually a beged is made of wool. So when the Torah says if it'll fall on a beged, it means it'll fall on a garment made of wool. How do we know to include the same thing would be if it falls on a garment made of other materials, like a sack or other garments which is made from silk, let's say, or other kinds of materials? How do we know that if it falls on those garments, you also have to wash? Talmud Lamed, the Pasuk says, Asher Oleho Techabes. From the words Asher Giza Oleho Techabes, we learn out that anything it'll fall on, you have to wash. But if so, Yochel, I would think, Shani Marbe Oy Mishahufsha, that I could also include skin after it was taken off, at least after it was taken off. This could be included in the word Asher Oleho Techabes, that comes to include other things also, not just a regular beged. Talmud Lamed, the Pasuk says, beged.
So we
learn out ma beged dover hamekabel tumah, just like a beged. It's something which actually could accept tumah, could receive tumah. I've called dover hamekabel tumah. So too, anything which could receive tumah, as long as it's something that at this point is able to become tumah, that is included in this din. But anything which cannot become tumah, even though if the person would have thought that he's going to use it the way it is, it would become tummy then. But now at this point, since he didn't think about it, so at this point it cannot become tummy. So Rabbi Lozer says that is not included in this thing. So this is the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we learn out from the word Asha Yizaleh Techabes Oir Mishahufshat, the skin after it's taken off. And skin before it's taken off, we exclude from the word Begit. And the difference is because this is at least royal kabel tumah, and this is not royal kabel tumah. But according to Rabbi Lozer, from the word asher aleh we include other begadim, and from the word beged we exclude oir even after it was taken off, because even though we could look at it as if it's royal kabel tumah, it could, if something would be done to it, it would be mikabel tumah. But at this point, it is not mikabel tumah actually. And he learns out from the word beged, it has to be a davar hamikabel tumah. And the Gemara asks, "My Banayu, what is the difference between them?" Actually, what the Gemara is saying, since he learns that it means Roy Lekabel Tumah, when the Torah says the word Beged, the Torah is referring to a Beged which is Roy Lekabel Tumah. And according to the other opinion, to Rabbi Lozer, when the Torah says Beged, the Torah is referring to a Beged which is Lekabel Tumah. In other words, there's a machloikis in what the word Beged in the Torah means. So the question is, what is the kind of Beged that could be that is Roy Lekabel Tumah, and nevertheless, it's not Lekabel Tumah? In which would be the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer, whether this is included in Beged that the Torah is talking about. Omar Abaye said, Matlis Klusa Mishola Shiki Benayu. A piece of cloth which is smaller than three fingers, that is the difference between them. Because the din is that only a garment which is at least the size of a square of 3 fingers by 3 fingers is Mekabel Tumah. If it's smaller than that, then it is not Mekabel Tumah. Unless the person decides to use it as it is. So then, even if it's smaller than the 3 fingers, it is Mekabel Tumah. And this would be a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer. Man Dama Royi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the main thing is that it's fit to be Mekabel Tumah, even though at this point it's not. But since it is able to be Mekabel Tumah, so this is already included in this deen, Honama Royi. So this is also considered Royi, if it's less than 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Why? The Iboyi, because if the owner would want, Koshevale, he would think about it, which means he would have his Machshave, his thought, that he would use it the way it is. So automatically, without doing anything to it, just because of his machshave, it would become fit to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, now too, it is considered roi. According to the Yehuda, if the dam would sprinkle on the beged, which is less than 3 by 3, it would have to be washed. Man dama, but according to other opinions, according to the Belozer, he says, dover ha mekabel tumah, only if something as it is mekabel tumah, so then ha, this, mi ala bas kabulet tumah. At this point, it is not something which could be mekabel tumah. Because as long as the owner didn't think to use it as it is, it cannot be mekabel tumah. And therefore, according to the Belozer, if the dam chatas would sprinkle on this beged, it would not have to be washed. Rava, my Rava says, that there's another difference between them. The difference between them is a garment which the person decided that he's going to embroider it. So here the din is that the moment he decided to embroider it, so the way it is now, it cannot be mekabel tumah. Because the person with his machshave, by thinking that he's going to do more work to it, automatically we look at it as if it's not finished yet. Since it's not a finished product, then it's not mekabel tumah. On the other hand, if the person will decide that he changed his mind, and he will not embroider it, and he's going to use it the way it is, so then it would be mekabel tumah. Therefore, man da maroi, according to the one that holds that the main thing is it should be fit to be mekabel tumah, even though as it is now it cannot be mekabel tumah, honam roi, this is also considered roi. Why? The iboyi mevatel leila machshavte. Because if he wants, he could be mevatel. He could drop his previous machshave that he decided to embroider it and decide not to embroider it. So just by that decision, by that changing his mind, automatically, it would be able to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, it is considered royer now also. And therefore, if the dam chatas would fall on this beged that he decided to embroider, he would have to wash it according to the Yehuda. Man dama dover hamekabel tumah, according to the other man dama, Rabbi Lozer, who holds that when is this din only if it actually at this point is able to be mekabel tumah? So hashtem mi elav bas kabula tumah. At this point, it is not able to be mekabel tumah because he did decide that he's going to embroider it, and he did not change his mind yet, So at this point, it cannot be makabel tumah. So according to the Belozer, if it falls on this baggage, you would not have to wash it. But Rashi asks the kasha, that how can we say this? When we have a rule that ein machshove moitzi midei machshove, that one machshove cannot take away from the other machshove. Which means if you have a machshove, and through your machshove, through this intention, this thought, it has a certain din on the baggage, so then when you have another thought, when you change your mind, you change your thought, it cannot change what you originally thought before. And whatever was affected by your original thought stays. So how can we say here, that if he had a mind to embroider it, automatically this is something that is not able to be mekabel tumah. And if he would change his mind, then right away it would become fit to be mekabel tumah. So it will come out that the machshava, the second machshava, will take out from the first machshava when we have a rule that ein machshava moitzi midei machshava. And Rashi answers that this rule, that machshava ein moitzi midei machshava, is only concerning bringing it closer to tumah, which means that if he decided that he's going to use the baggage the way it is, without finishing it off, so automatically now it's able to be makabel tumah. If then he will have a second machshava, which means he will change his mind and decide that he will finish it off, that won't change the status of the baggage. And the baggage will still be a baggage which could be makabel tumah. Because the moment you decide that you're going to use the baggage the way it is, and you brought down the baggage to a level that is able to be makabel tumah, it stays that way. And a second machshava, that you're going to change your mind and decide that you do want to finish it, will not take it away from its ability of being makabel tumah. But if it's the other direction, if your first machshava was in such a way that would stop it from being makabel tumah, which means that you had in mind, for instance, like we say here, to embroider it, to finish it off, and therefore because of your machshava, it is not fit to be makabel tumah. And then you change your mind and you decided to use it the way it is. And through your second machshava, it should be fit to be makabel tumah. So then the second machshava does have an effect. Because concerning making a baggage fit to be makabel tumah, the rule is that any machshava is merited the baggage to be makabel tumah. And therefore, even though it's a second thought against the first thought, but as long as it's a thought to make it fit to be makabel tumah, that thought takes effect and it does become fit to be makabel tumah. And that's the case we're talking about here. That the first machshava was that he will embroider it, and therefore it was not fit to be makabel tumah. Then he changed his mind and decided not to embroider it. That second machshava will make it roi l'kabel tumah. And that's what he says here. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, even before he changed his mind, since it's roi l'kabel tumah, he could think something and would make it fit to be makabel tumah. Then it is included in this din. But according to Rabbi Elazar, since he did not change his mind yet, so at this point it is not able to be makabel tumah, according to Rabbi Elazar, it would not be included in this din. Some say that Rava Omar, Rava said a different, because before we said that Rava said a different in the case where first he thought to embroider it and then he changed his mind. But now some say that Rava gave a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, and that is Utzba, a rug, and usually the rugs were made of leather. It's a rug that's made to eat on or to sleep on, which means a rug that could be used as a tablecloth, a rug that could be used as linen for your bed. And usually this is referred to a rug, it was not trimmed at the edges. If it was a rug, the choshev alo lekatzo, he had in mind to trim it, because the din is that even if it's an untrimmed rug, nevertheless, since it still could be used as a tablecloth or as linen, etc., it is already mekabel tumah, unless the person has in mind that he's going to trim it to make it look nice. So if while this rug is being made, he has in mind to trim it at the end, so then as long as he didn't trim it, it is not able to be mekabel tumah. But if he would not have a mind to trim it, then it would be makabel tumah even if it's untrimmed. So here we're talking about a rug that he did have a mind to trim it. So as long as he didn't trim it, it's not makabel tumah. So this is Ike Benai, this is the difference between them. Man d'amar roi, according to the one that holds that if it's just roi to be makabel tumah, it already is included in this din, honame roi, this is also roi. Why? Because all he has to do is change his mind, decide that he's not going to trim it, that moment it will become fit to be makabel tumah. So therefore, even though at this moment he's still sticking to his machshava that he wants to trim it, but it's still considered roi l'kabel tumah, so therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda it would be included in this din and it would have to be washed. Man dover ha-makabel tumah, but the one that says that it has to be actually at this point something which could be makabel tumah, ho-la makabel tumah ad-maktula, this will not become makabel tumah until you actually trim it. Since you're still sticking to your machshava that you want to trim it, so as long as you didn't trim it, it's not makabel tumah. The only way to be makabel tumah is if you change your mind or you trim it. But as long as you didn't do either of them, it can't be mekabel tumah. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, this would not be included in this din and would not have to be washed. Well, Tanya, as we learned actually in a braisa, that Reb Shimon Menasya says, utva shechishav aleh lekotzo, that if it's a rug that he had in mind to trim it, tohoira, it is toir ad sheyaktienu, until he trims it. Until he trims it, it cannot be mekabel tumah. So we see clearly that the fact that he decided to trim it, so that itself makes it not fit to be mekabel tumah. On the other hand, if he changes his mind, it will be mekabel tumah. So according to the Yehuda, this is considered royal mekabel tumah, and therefore it would have to be washed. According to the Belozer, even though it's royal mekabel tumah, but it is not actually mekabel tumah, so according to him, it would not have to be washed if Adam Chatot spilled on it. Then the Gemara continues. We learn the Mishnah: Ein ton kibus chulu. You don't have to wash the whole garment. You just have to wash the blood out of the garment. Mino anemila. How do we know that? The Gemara asks. The Gemara answers the Tone Rabbanan, because Rabbanan learned. We learn the Braise. Yochel. I would think nitzas al nitzas beged, that if it's sprinkled on part of the beged, yehi kol a beged ton kibus, you would have to wash the whole garment. Talmud Loimer. The pasuk says asher yizeh. The pasuk says that. If it will sprinkle from its blood on the beged, what is sprinkled on it, you have to wash. What does that mean? That lo yamartilo, I didn't tell you, only the place of the blood. The pasuk says clearly, what was sprinkled on it, you have to wash. Only the dam that was sprinkled, you have to wash out, but not the whole beged. Then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishnah, that when do you have to wash it? If it's a beged, which is fit to be mekabel tumah. But the Gemara says, Stomer kireb Yehuda. The Stam Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah, which has no name to it, but is written Stam, this only goes according to the Buddha, which means that the Mishnah is trying to tell us that Stam, the halacha, is like Reb Yehuda. Because according to the Belozer, it wouldn't be enough royal mekabel tumah, the fit to be mekabel tumah, it would actually have to be a beged, which is mekabel tumah. And since the Mishnah says here, Roi l'kabel tumah, this goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Mishnah said, Roi l'kibus, it has to be a garment which is fit to be washed. The Ma'utah, this comes to exclude, Kela, a vessel, the bar gredohu, which is only able to be scraped, not washed. For instance, if it fell on a wooden Kela, then there is no din that you have to wash the Kela, because washing won't do any good, it won't take it out completely. The only thing that would take it out would be if you scrape off part of the Kela. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. When do you have to wash it? If it's a kela that could be washed. But if it's a kela that you can't wash, but you must scrape, so then to get the blood out, you would have to scrape. Then the Mishnah said, Echad habeged ve'echad asak hulu. This din applies whether it is a garment made of wool, or it is a sack, or it is skin. You still have to wash it. But the Gemara says, Lameimer, are you telling me the oir bar kibusu, that skin, leather, could be washed? Because we said before that this din only applies to something that could be washed. And now we're mentioning skin among the things that you have to wash. So obviously we're holding that skin could be washed. Then I mean, well, I'll ask you a question. We learned in the Sichta Shabbos, hoisa olav lishleshes, if on top of a garment, on top of a pillow, for instance, there was some dirt, some spit, or some other kind of dirt, mekancha bismartut, you should wipe it off with a rag. And this refers to Shabbos. You're not allowed to use water to wash it out, because one of the malachas on Shabbos is kibus, washing. So if you take a cloth and you soak it in water, you pour water over it, this is considered washing. So therefore, if a cloth got dirty, let's say a pillow or some other cloth got dirty, so the din is that you must wipe it off with a rag, but you cannot wash it off with water. But if hoiso shel oir, but if the pillow was of leather and it got dirty, noisen aleha mayim, so you could put water on it, till it will disappear. To put the water on it and then scrub it with your hands, you're not allowed. But just to pour enough water on it till it will disappear, that you are allowed. And the reason you're allowed, obviously, because since it's leather, by putting water on it, it's not considered washing. Because if it would be considered washing, then you wouldn't be able to put water on it on Shabbos. So this seems to contradict what we learned before in our Mishnah. It says that if it fell on leather, you have to wash it. Obviously, leather is something that could be washed, and there it says clearly that if you put water on leather on Shabbos, it's not considered washing. Omer Abaye said, Lo ikashe, there is no question. Ho Rabbanon, ho Acherim. That one follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the other one follows the opinion of Acherim, of others. And usually Acherim is Rav Meir, as the Gemara says in Hayri. The Tanya, because we learn in Abraise, Ha beged v'hasak, a garment or a sack, mechapso, you would wash it. And this is Abraise concerning the Dam Chatas. Adar dam chatas fell on a beged or on a sack, then you would wash it. Hakei levehoid, if it fell on a wooden vessel, or it fell on a leather beged, megararo, you would scrape it off. Achedimayim, others say, habeged vehasak vehoid mechatsa, if it fell on a beged, made of wool, or on a sack, or on leather, you should wash it. Hakeil, if it fell on a vessel, megararo, then you scrape it off. So it comes out that we have a machloikas here between the Chachomim and Achedim, whether skin, leather, is something that you can wash or not. We see that the Chachomim mentioned leather together with a wooden keilah that you scrape it off, and Achedim mentioned leather together with the beged and the sack that you wash it off. So we see that Achedim hold that oil skin could be washed, and the Chachomim hold it can't. And that is the difference between our Mishnah and the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, where it says that you could pour the water on the leather, that goes according to the Chachomim that hold that leather is not considered washing. And in our Mishnah, where it mentions leather among the thing that you wash, that goes according to Achayrim, who does consider leather among the thing that you could wash. Then the Gemara says, Kiman Ozlo, Hod the Omer Rebchiyah Barashe. So according to who does this that Rebchiyah Barashe said go according? He said, Zimni Sagi, many times, Havakayim Nekamad Rav, I stood in front of Rav, Veshachshichi Leimisani Bemaye, and I scrubbed his shoes with water. Now shoes are made of leather, and he scrubbed it with water on Shabbos, so obviously he holds that leather is not considered being washed. So according to who does it go? Kiman according to who? Kirabonon. This only fits according to the Rabbonon. Because according to Achirim, you wouldn't be able to do it, because leather is considered washing, and on Shabbos, one of the melachas is kibbutz. Omar Rove, but then Rove said, Umi ikilaman da Omar, oyer lav bar kibbutzu. Is there such a person, such an opinion that holds that leather is not something that you could wash? Voksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say clearly, "Habeged oy hashasi oy ha'eret oy kol kli ha'er ashet chabei"? This is a pasuk in the end of Parshas Hazriah, Kapitel Yud Gimel, pasuk Nunches, and there it speaks about a nega, about leprosy that was found in a beged. There are many dinim there in the parsha, and it says that under certain conditions you have to wash the beged, and then the pasuk says that the beged, the garment, oy hashasi, or the warp, which is the wolf, or any kind of leather kela, leather vessel, that will be washed, asher dechabe, that will be washed, and the pasuk continues, v'sor mehem anege, and the nege left it, v'chuba asheni v'sor, you have to wash it a second time. But lapel, we see here that the Torah says clearly that you wash the beged, and it says the word dechabe, and it mentions also kol kli hoer, all kinds of keli made of skin, of leather. So we see that leather could be washed. So how can there be an opinion that says that leather is not considered kibbutz, not considered washed? Elo Maroves, therefore Rove said, Kro masnis berakin. At this pasuk it says that you could wash the skin. And also our Mishnah, where it says clearly that if the blood of the chatas fell on eir, you have to wash it that by soft ones. Keep ligi, words the machloik is between Achayrim and the Rabbonon, the kashim by hard ones. If it's hard leather, so then Achayrim say that hard leather nevertheless could be washed, and the Rabbanan say that hard leather cannot be washed. But our Mishnah is talking about soft leather, and so is the Pasuk talking about soft leather. But then the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Omar didn't say that Zimni Sagin, have the key in the Kamad Rav, many times I stood in front of Rav, and I scrubbed his shoes with water, and we assume that the shoes were made of soft leather. And nevertheless, he did it. We just said that by soft leather, everyone agrees that you're not allowed on Shabbos because it's called kibbutz. So how was he able to scrub his shoes with water? And the Gemara says, Bikashin. Must have been hard leather. Uke Rabbonin. And he passed him like the Rabbonin. Because we said before that by hard leather there is a machlokes. And the Rabbonin hold that this is not considered washing. So obviously, he held like the Rabbonin. But Hadarov and Rove, then Rove said, Lav milsi damre. What I said was not true. What I said, that the Pasuk where it says that you can wash leather is speaking only by soft leather, that is not true. The truth is that it's speaking whether it is soft or hard leather. Why? Nei kunei melilikro. Shall we establish and say to the Pasuk, the chik sivan, that when is the Pasuk written concerning the nega, that you have to wash the kli'ir, it's only barakin sivi, only written concerning soft ones, milay askinen, isn't the Pasuk only also talking b'klei islagye haboy v'dinisayam, the clothes of the foresters who come from faraway country, and this was made of hard leather. Does the Pasuk say that in a case like that you don't wash out the nega? It doesn't say anything. The pasuk doesn't limit itself to say that only certain begadim you have to wash, etc., and certain begadim not. The pasuk is speaking by all kinds of begadim. The pasuk makes a general rule, or any kind of leather garment. The Kama Rachman in the pasuk nevertheless says, Niboya kibbutz, that you have to wash it. So obviously, even hard leather could be washed. So what I said before, that only soft leather, everyone agrees, could be washed, and hard leather is a machlokes, and the pasuk is speaking only by soft leather, that is not true. Elamar Rava, therefore Rava said, Tzaraz, that the case of the leather baggage which is written by Tzaraz, by the leprosy, there it could be washed under all circumstances. Why? Kivin de megufei kaporcho, since the Tzaraz comes from itself, mechalchalalei, it makes it damp, umashvili rachan, it makes it soft. So therefore, over there, definitely you could wash it. But otherwise, by soft leather, everyone agrees that it could be washed. By hard leather, there is a machlokes. So therefore, our Mishnah, where it says that the leather could be washed, that goes according to everybody because it's talking by soft leather. Then when we have a machlokes between Achedim and the Chachamim, that is concerning hard leather. But the Pasuk is speaking by all types of leather, because there, all types of leather could be washed, even hard ones, because the Tzaraz makes it soft. But Omar Rav Batrava said, Ikashili, if I do have a question, Hokashili, this would be my question. In other words, not everything is fine yet. We still have a question. Because the din that we mentioned before by Shabbos, that if it got dirty, if it's cloth, you have to wipe it off with a rag. If it was leather, it said you could pour water on it until it disappears. So there it's talking about Karim Vikisei. It's talking about pillows or covers. They're Akininu, and they are soft. Utnan, nevertheless, we learned there at Hoysa Shaloir, if the pillows or the covers were made of leather, you put water on it till it disappears. We just said now that concerning soft leather, everyone agrees that it could be washed. It's only concerning hard leather we have a machlokes. Now there, concerning Shabbos, the Mishnah was talking about definitely soft leather, because when it says if it was leather you could pour water on it, it's talking about pillows or covers. They are definitely soft. And nevertheless, it says you could pour water on it. So we see that even soft leather you could pour water on. And we said before that by soft leather, everyone agrees that it is considered washing. So how can you do it on Shabbos? Eloma Rava, so therefore Rava said, Enupsha. That kol kibus, the leslay kiskus, any washing, it has no scrubbing, loishme kibus, is not called washing. So it's not because of leather or not leather. It says there that you just pour water on it until it disappears. So the reason you're allowed to do it is because you didn't scrub it. You're just pouring water over it. So just pouring water over it isn't kibbutz, isn't washing. And the Gemara will soon ask, but if so, why does it say that by a regular garment, if the pillows are made of cloth, you can't pour water on it? If the whole idea here is that if you don't scrub it, it is not considered kibbutz, so you should be able to do it even by regular pillows made of cloth. But in the meantime, this is the Gemara's Peret. That as long as you don't scrub it, it's not called kibbutz. And that is the reason why in the Mishnah, in Shabbos, it says that you're allowed to pour the water on it and have it disappear. But then the Gemara asks, V'ho domer Rebchiye Barashe. But didn't Rebchiye Barashe say that Zimni Sagi and Hava Koim Nekame de Rav, many times it stood in front of Rav, V'shach Shichi Lei Mesone B'maye, and I scrubbed his shoes in water. So we see that he did it even with scrubbing. And now we're saying in Upshat that leather really could be washed. But if you scrub it, you're not allowed. But there it says he scrubbed it. And the Gemara says, shichshuch ein. He really didn't scrub it. It's only shichshuch. Shichshuch is dabbing. Dabbing you're allowed. Avok iskusi loy, but to scrub it, that you're not allowed. And then the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah, that now we could say that our Mishnah is iberakin. You could say our Mishnah where it says that you wash the air if the dam chatas fell on it. Could be it's talking by soft skin. Ukedivrahakal, it goes according to everybody, because now we're still saying that by soft skin, everyone agrees that it is considered washing. Or maybe you could even say it's talking by hard skin, uki acherim, and then it only fits according to acherim, because acherim hold, as we said before, even by hard skin, it is also considered washing. So it could be our Mishnah holds like acherim, and therefore our Mishnah says that even hard skin you wash if the dam chatas fell on it. But then the Gemara asks, see, hocha is so. As we said before, that the reason why you're allowed to pour the water over the skin in the Mishnah Shabbos was because you didn't scrub it, and that's allowed. Beged name, so why can't we do that by the beged if it's made of cloth? It says that if it's made of cloth, you have to wipe it with a rag. You can't pour water over it. If it's made of leather, you could. And we said now that the truth is leather is also considered washing. The only reason you're allowed is because you pour water on it without scrubbing it. So why can't you do the same thing concerning the cloth? And the Gemara answers, beged by cloth, shriyosa izel kibusei. Just soaking it in water itself is called kibbutz, without even scrubbing it. It's only by leather that we say that if you don't scrub it, it's not called washing. But by cloth, just being soaked in water already is called washing. And Rav at the time, Rav goes according to his own opinion. The Omer Rav, because Rav said, Zorak suder l'mayim chayev, if someone throws a suder, a handkerchief, into water, he is chayev. Why? Because just by putting it into water, he did the malacha of kibbutz. Zorak pishtan l'mayim, if he threw a linen seat into water, chayev is also chayev. When the Gemara asks, Bishlai Mesuder, we understand why if he threw the handkerchief into the water, he's chayiv, because of it kibbutz, he's making kibbutz. Since soaking is kibbutz, he is doing the malach of kibbutz. Ela zera pishn, my time, what is the reason? If he threw in the linen seed, why should he be chayiv for that? Chitim, I might say, mishum de mikdach, because it grows, by putting it into the water, it'll grow. So you're chayiv for a different malach, for the malach of zereya, for the malach of planting. If so, the same thing should be concerning wheat and barley. Why does he say it only concerning linen seed? Why doesn't he say the same thing concerning wheat and barley? If you throw it in water, you're chayiv because it will start growing. So he says, no. Hanoch islahurire. These linen seeds give off mucus. There are thin threads of mucus that come out of these seeds when they're put into water. And that fastens them together. And that's why you're not allowed to do it. The Gemara asks, if so, shlochim name, the same should be concerning unfinished hide. If you have skin that's unfinished and you put them into water, so there are certain mucus that comes out of it. So you shouldn't be able to put that into water either. And we said before that putting water on skin doesn't matter. But the Gemara says, hosam over there, concerning the linen seeds, the reason you're not allowed, because ka'ovet lisha, because when you throw it in and this mucus comes out, it sticks them together, so it's considered kneading. And one of the malachas on Shabbos is kneading. But concerning skin, when the mucus comes out and sticks them together, it's not considered kneading because there's no such thing as kneading by skin. So therefore, putting skin into the water is not osir, but putting the linen seed in the water is osir. Then the Gemara continues, Dorash Rove, the Rove darshant, Mutel l'chabes minol v'shabes, you're allowed to wash a shoe on Shabbos. Omer lay the papa the Rove, the papa said the Rove, v'ha'omer r'pchiyah barashe, didn't r'pchiyah barashe say, Zimni sagiyah havakini kamad Rav. Many times I stood in front of Rav. Veshach shich yilei mesonim b'mayim, and I dabbed his shoes with water. So shich shich ein, only dabbing is allowed, avakibus lay, but not washing. And this the puppet said to Rav, after Rav gave his drasha, and the custom used to be that the Amira used to give his drasha, and an interpreter would repeat it. So the puppet said this to Rav after the interpreter already finished repeating what Rav said. The Hodar Uki Rav Amir Alei, Rav went and got an interpreter again. He brought back the interpreter, and he told him, V'dorish Hidarshin, and he told him to say this in front of all the people, that Dvorim Shamati Lufneichem Tosim B'yodi, that the words I said to you was a mistake. V'ram, because, Kach Omro, this is what the Chachamim said, Shich Shuch Mute, dabbing is allowed, but kibbutz, washing also is forbidden. So what I said before, you're allowed to wash your shoes on Shabbos, is a mistake, because you're not allowed to wash it, you're just allowed to dab it. And the Gemara continues to quote from the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, "Kibbutz b'mokim kodesh chulu," that when you have to wash the garment, you have to do it b'mokim kodesh, which means in the holy place, in the Azorah. And the Mishnah continues, "Ushviras plecheres b'mokim kodesh," that when you have to break the earthenware, you have to do it b'mokim kodesh, because the pasuk in Parshat Tzav there continues, "Ukli cheres asher tavush al boy yishavet," that any klecheres that you will cook in it the chatos, you have to break. So the Mishnah says you have to break it b'mokim kodesh. Umrike v'shtife b'klei nechoshes b'mokim kodesh. When you have to wash and rinse the klei nechoshes, the copper tailor, it also has to be done in the mokim kodesh, because the pasuk there continues, v'im b'klei nechoshes b'shola, if it was cooked, the chatas was cooked in a copper tailor, so then umoyrak v'shuta b'moyim. So you have to wash it and rinse it in water. So the Mishnah says it has to be done b'mokim kodesh. And the Mishnah continues, Zeh choymer b'chatas mikoshe kadoshim. This is a chumrah in chatas over other koshe kadoshim, because only by chatas we have this din, not by other koshe kadoshim. And the Gemara asks, Minohan emila, how do we know these dinim? And the Gemara answers, Ton rabbonim, because the rabbonim learned. The pasuk says, Techabeis b'mokim kodesh, that you should wash that beged that received the dam from the chatas. You have to wash it in mokim kodesh. So we know from here that the washing has to take place in mokim kodesh, to be fairish a pasuk. Shviras klicheres minayin, how do we also know that when you break the klicheres, it also has to be done the mokim kodesh? Talmud loimer, the posik says, uchli cheres asher tavush al bo yishover, that the klichera that you will cook, the chatas, you have to break. And since this comes right after the pasuk where it says, techabe is a mokim kodesh, so we darshan that this mokim kodesh also goes on the next words, where it says that the klichera has to be broken. How do we know? The same thing applies to the klei nechoshes. If it was cooked in it, you have to rinse and wash it. You must do it in the makim kodesh. Talmud Leimer, the pasuk says, it continues there. Since this comes also in connection, in continuation to the makim kodesh, so we understand that this also has to be done in the makim kodesh. And then the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, this is a chumra in chatas over other kodesh kodoshim. But the Gemara says, Vesuleke, isn't there anymore? It seems from here that this is the chumre of chatas over kodesh kodoshim, as if there are no other chumres in chatas over kodesh kodoshim. V'hoike, don't we find another chumre? And that is, shenichnas dom olifnim, that there are certain chatoyes that you must take the blood inside. Those are the chatoyes apnimiyas. There are certain chatoyes that you sprinkle the blood inside the heichal. And that we don't find by any other kodesh kodoshim. So we have another chumre in korban chatos over other kodesh kodashim. And the Gemara says, the chatoyes achitzonis. We're talking in chatoyes achitzonis itself. That was in those chatoyes that the blood is not taken inside, it's only sprinkled outside. So there, the chumre of chatos over other kodesh kodashim is this din that we mentioned here in the Mishnah. But then the Gemara asks, but there still is, shim nichnes domo lifnim psulo, that by a chatos the din is, that if the blood of a chatos chitzonis, the chatos is not supposed to be taken inside. If the blood was taken inside, it becomes puzzle. As it says in the same parasha that we're dealing with now, v'chol chatos asher yuva medomo el oyel moed l'chaper b'kodesh lo yisei ochel b'eish tisoret. Any chatos that you will take the blood inside the oyel moed, which means inside the heichol, then you can't eat it and you got to burn it. So we see that there is a chumre in din of chatos that if the blood was taken inside the heichol, it becomes puzzle. While by other karbonis, by kodesh kodoshim even, we don't find this din. And the Gemara answers, Kireb Akiva, this goes according to Reb Akiva. The Omer that he holds, Kol Domim Shenichnasu LeHeichol LeChaper Psula. And any blood from any korban that was taken inside the Heichol to be Mechaper is possible. So this is not a din only by Chatas, but this is a din by other korbanos. So therefore we couldn't say that this is also a Chumre of Chatas over other korbanos. But then the Gemara asks, there is still a Chumre in Chatas over other korbanos, even Kodesh Kadoshim, Shekei Mechaperin Alchai VeKrisus. That a Chatas is Mechaper, brings a kapara for an aveira, even if you're chayav kares. Because the rule is that when do you bring a chatos, a regular chatos, a chatos kavua, for an aveira, that if you would have done it b'meidi, you would be chayav kares. So then, if you do it b'shegig, so you're a chayav chatos. So we see that a chatos forgives for an aveira that the punishment is kares, which is a very strict aveira. While by other kodesh kadoshim, we don't find that. So this is a chumra in chatos over other kodesh kadoshim. And the Gemara answers that we're talking b'chatos, the shmiyas hakoil, the shvuas bitui. It's a special kind of chatos that is written in Parsha Vayikra, Kapitel Hey, which comes for shmiyas hakoil, shvuas bitui, and that has nothing to do with kares. So in a chatos like that, we don't have the chumre of a din mechaper for kares. So here the only chumre is the thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah. But then the Gemara adds there's still another chumre, she came to une arba matonos. At a chatos, you have to give four matonos, which means when you sprinkle the blood, you have to sprinkle four sprinklings on the mizbeach. By other korbanos the din is that you sprinkle shtayin shein arba, you sprinkle twice, which turn into four. But by a chatos, you have to sprinkle actually four sprinklings. So that is a chumra in chatos over other kodesh kodashim. And the Gemara answers it goes to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the Omer that he says, kol domim tu'unin dalot matonis, that all blood need four matonis. That from all korbanos you have to sprinkle four times. So there is no chumra in chatos over other korbanos according to Rabbi Shmuel, and we go according to Rabbi Shmuel. But then the Gemara asks, but still there is al dalat kronos, that by a chatos you must sprinkle on the four corners, meaning on the four horns of the mizbeah. While other korbanos you don't have to sprinkle on the kronos. So that is a chumre in chatos over other korbanos. That to him, ulutai mirchen, according to you. Ha'ike aron is in their keren, ha'ike etzba, ha'ike chudo. The truth is there are more things. A chatos has to be sprinkled on the keren, on the horn. While other blood from other korbanos, you sprinkle under the chuta sikra. You sprinkle on the lower half of the mizbeach. So here we see a chumre in the chatos of other karbonis. Also etzba. Chatos you have to sprinkle with the finger, while other karbonis you sprinkle with the kele. Then there is chuda, you have to put it exactly to the point, to the corner of the mizbeach, exactly by the edge, while by other karbonis you don't have to. So there are other chumres anyway in chatos over other karbonis. Elo, therefore, what is the pshat in our Mishnah where it says that this is the chaymer of chatzos over other kotcha kadoshim, chad mitrei plosa chumrenoki. He only picks one out of two or three chumres. Which means when he says this is the chumre of chatzos over kotcha kadoshim, it doesn't mean this is the only chumre. This is a chumre of chatzos over kotcha kadoshim. There are other chumres also. There are really about two, three chumres. And this is one of the chumres. And this is what the Mishnah means. Considering what we learned before, that if the pillow got dirty, so it says that if it's made of cloth, mekanchoi bismartu, you have to wipe it off with a rag, but you are not allowed to put water over it. And the reason is, as the Gemara says, because shriyosa izehu kibusai, because if you will make it wet with water, the soaking in water, this itself is its washing, so you will be over on the melacha of kibus. We learned in the first Perek of Bei, and that is Chetam Adalev, there it says, Nido maremes v'toyvelos dibogdikdeo. If a Nida, a woman who is tamei, and she has to go to the mikveh, and she has no other clothes, and the only clothes she has that she's wearing, and the clothes is tamei itself. So what's she going to do if she's going to go to the mikveh now? So then, she won't be able to put her clothes on again, because her clothes are tamei. To say that she should toivel her clothes, you're not allowed. Because on Shabbat, you're not allowed to toivel a kelah. So the Gemara says there that she's allowed to go to the mikveh with her clothes on. Obviously, it's a case where the clothes were not mechitzah. The case where it's very loose, so there is no chitzah. But if she goes to the mikveh with her clothes on, so both things become toyah. She becomes toyah herself because she went to the mikveh. And also the clothes are toiveled in the mikveh and the clothes will become toyah. But the question is, how can you do that on Shabbos? Didn't we just say that shriyosa is el kibusa? That if you get clothes wet, this itself is the washing. So by her toiveling herself in the mikveh, that'll wash the clothes. So mitzad that inyan, you're not allowed to put it into the water. So what is the eitzah that the Gemara gives? You should go to the mikveh on Shabbos with the clothes on. And Tosfos says that there's a difference. In the case of there, she's not really washing. In the contrary, she's going to make it even more dirty. Because when you go into the nohar, into the river, with the clothes get even dirtier than before. So when do we say that that making it wet, soaking it, is washing if it's in clean water? So then it gets washed. But if it's in water of a nohar, of the river, so then it doesn't make it clean. So then we would not say zeh kibusoi. So he says at the end that this is the reason that we're allowed to wipe our hands on a towel on Shabbos. L'chura, when we wipe our hands on the towel gets wet. So l'chura, zeh kibusa, we're washing the towel, so you're not allowed. The answer is, when we wipe our hands on the towel gets dirty. And that is why after a while you wash the towel out, because it gets dirty from all the people wiping their hands on the towel. And that is why, even though the towel gets wet, you're still allowed to wipe your hands on the towel. L'halacha l'maisa, concerning this din of kibus, there are a lot of details in the Poskim, and mainly it's in the Shulchan Aruch Hilcha Shabbos Nerachayim Simen Shin Beis. So I will quote some of the halachas the way they are brought down in the Poskim, and I will quote it the way it's brought down in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya in Simen Shin Beis, starting from Sif Yutet. And there he says that a shoe that has dirt on it, titei tzeya, you're allowed to dab it with water and take the dirt off. And the same applies to other clay oyer, other skin kalim that got dirty. You're allowed to put water on it to take off the dirt. Also, you're allowed to dab it with water in order to get it off. And there is no iser of kibus, no iser of washing, because she'ein kibus be'oyer b'shich shuch levado, because there is no iser of kibus if you just dab it by skin. But you're not allowed to rub one side to the other when you put the water on it, because then it would be a real kibus. And this is forbidden also ba'oyer, also by skin, by leather. But this is only medivra sofrim, midarabonon, but midaraisa, you are not chayiv unless you actually squeeze out the leather. And then he continues, but a beged, if it was a garment, a cloth, it had dirt on it, for instance, it had a drop of blood or spit, certainly if it had titei tzoya, certainly if it had real dirt, if you put water on the dirty place, or any other liquid which would clean, even if you put one small drop, you are chayiv, which means it's also midaraisa, even if you didn't dab it. Because shriyas beged zehu kibusay, because the soaking of the beged in water, that is the washing. And even if you do it in other liquids, which don't really clean it, they make it dirty, nevertheless, you're forbidden to put it on the dirty place to take it off. But what you should do is, you should just wipe it off with a cloth, and make sure to wipe it off very lightly and not press hard, because you might squeeze the dirt in out of the beged, and then you would have an iser of chita midrabanan, as it is explained in Simin Shimchot. But if it is a beged, it doesn't have any dirt on it, even though it got black because of wearing or because of use, So here we do not say Shriyose Zeu Kibusei, that putting it into water will be the washing, and therefore you are allowed to put a little bit of water on it. As the Rosh says in Yume, Simen Dalet. But the Bet Yosef brings in the name of the Smag and the Smak and the Sefer HaTrumas, that only a little bit of water, but not a lot, because if you put a lot of water on it, there is a Gzeira, you might come to squeeze afterwards to take the water out, and then it would be a real Easter. That's why you shouldn't put a lot of water on it, even if it's not dirty. But the Magen Avraham, Sifkot and Yutes adds that if it was a Beged, that you don't care about the water, even if it would be in the weekdays, you wouldn't care about the water and you would squeeze it out, and you wouldn't be makpid on the water, then you're allowed to put a lot of water on it, even on Shabbos. But some argue on this, the Tosfos and the Rashbam and the Tur argue and say that we say by a Beged, Shriyos is El Kibusai, even if it was not dirty. And therefore they say you are not allowed to put any water on it, even a drop of water or any other liquid on a Beged, even if it's clean. And even though he's not mischavim for this malacha, even though you could put it on for a different reason, and you don't intend to wash it because it's not dirty, nevertheless you're not allowed because it's a psikration. So the din is that even though any mischavim on Shabbos is mutter, but that's only if the malacha doesn't have to be done. You're doing one thing, a malacha might come out of it, so since you don't intend to do the malacha, then it's mutter. But if it's a psikration, if the malacha has to come out, so then it is awesome. And in this case, according to this opinion, that Shriyot is a kibuse in this case too. So by putting water on it, it's a psikresha, it must do the malacha of washing. So therefore, you are not allowed. And he says here in Shulchan Aruch that the yesh lochos l'divreim lahachmir b'shul Torah, that since this is a question of Issa deraisa, we should be machmir according to their opinion. On the other hand, there are some that say that even according to this svara, that we say by a clean beged, that Shriyot is a kibuse, nevertheless, this is only if there's a lot of water. But if you have a little bit of water, then even according to this opinion, there is no malacha. So therefore, there are some that are meiko, and a little bit of water they would put on the beged, which is clean. But nevertheless, he says, that kol yirah shemayim yachmei la'atzmai, not to get into a sofek of a isa d'raisa. And he continues and says that there is no difference in this din, whether it is white clothes or colored clothes, because even by colored clothes there is a isa of kibbutz. And this makes no difference whether it's made of flax or made of wool or made of silk, by all of it it applies. And then he continues that nevertheless, according to everybody, we don't say by a beged which is not dirty, Shriyose b'mayim zeo kibusei, only if you're doing it in a form of cleaning. But if you're doing it in the form of making it dirty, for instance, if you're wiping your hand after you wash it on a cloth or on a towel, so then even if you have a lot of water on yourself or on your hand, and by wiping it on the towel it gets wet or on the cloth it gets wet, nevertheless, we do not say that this is kibusei, because this is not considered washing, it's only dirty. And that is the reason why the Chachamim remarked that somebody who is going to a Dvar Mitzvah is allowed to pass through water with his clothes, even though it gets wet, because we do not say Shriyose Zeu Kibusei. Why? Because this is also Derech Lichluch. When he puts goes into the water while he's dressed, he's just making it worse, not making it better. It's not Derech Nekoyin Klal. On the other hand, there are some that are Machmir. This is the Hagos, Maimoni, and the Tur, and the Mordechai, the Shema Haram. They are machmir, and they say that even though we allow you to wipe your hands on a towel, and we do not say Shriyot Zeu Kibusei, but this is if you do not have a lot of water. So what do you do first? You take most of the water off, and then you take the towel and you wipe it on the towel. But to take the water the way it's on your hands, if it's very wet and you wipe it on the towel, it's not allowed according to them. And he says, Toiv lochesh l'divreyem, bedov v'sheim behefset klal. It is good, proper, to do as they say, as after all, there is no loss if you keep what they say. Nevertheless, the meaning is to be meikel, as the Ramos says in Targum in Shulchan Aruch, and that is the Iker. But in the Kuntre Sachin, he asked the question that according to the Svara that we said before, that if it is a clean cloth, you're allowed to put a little bit of water on it. Why? Because he brings the lotion from the smag, because since it's only a little bit of water, and you are not miskavim lelabim, you're not miskavim to wash, that's why it's allowed. So Yashakasha but Lukhaura, since the leave must happen, the little bit of water that's there must wash it a little bit. So who cares if it's a little bit, Lapoil, even though it's any miskavim, it's a secretion. So the little bit of washing is done. And even though it doesn't have a shear, but chotzi shear, osaminatoira, that midaraisa, you're not allowed to do a malocha or anything else, even if it doesn't have the complete shear. The punishment will not come unless there is a shear, but chotzi shear is osaminatoira with other punishment, but nevertheless you can't do this. And he explains, nevertheless, because he is not miskavim to wash it, so then this washing is not considered washing. Not the pshat that it's only a little bit of washing, and therefore it's allowed. Since it's only a little bit of washing, it's not considered washing at all. Why? Because washing depends on the way it looks. And since it doesn't change the look, so in the eyes of people, it's not considered washing. And therefore, it's not considered washing at all. Just like we find in the Magen Avraham at the end of Simin Shinchof, concerning painting, he said that Ein derech ha'olam litzoivei, if it's something that the derech of the world is not to paint it, it's not called tzoveya, and you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. And the reason is because the whole concept of paint is the way you see it. If it's not the way people do, then it's not considered painting. Same thing here. If this is not called washing in the eyes of people, even though a little bit gets washed, that little bit of washing, it doesn't have the halacha of washing at all. But there's still a difference between the halacha here and the halacha there, because over there, even if you're mechaven to paint it, it's not considered tzviya because people don't do it. While here we say that since he's not mechaven to the little bit of washing, it's okay. But if he would be mechaven, it would be osir. Because here, since it is something that people do wash, the only thing is it's a little bit, so his kavana is enough to make it osir. Bishas, he is machshiv this washing. While over there, since it's something that people don't paint the chwal, so then it's not considered tzviya at all. And therefore, in the case there, even if he's mechavan to paint it, it's still mutter. But in this case, if he is mechavan, he is machshivit. But if he's not mechavan, then it doesn't have any chshivit, and therefore, it is mutter.